Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
Now, the International Air Traffic Association has just released its revised outlook for the airline industry. Obviously, this includes Africa and Southern Africa. I want to look at some of the highlights, but also the refueling crisis that hit OR Tambo International yesterday. And Lyndon Burns is with me now, Managing Director of the specialist agency Plain Talking. Lyndon, good evening to you and a very warm welcome. I see that in the past couple of hours, AXA has issued an apology, but generally airlines were very, very angry about this.
Yeah, and rightly so. You know, there are roughly 600 flights, about 290 departures and similar number of arrivals in and out of OR Tambo on a day like yesterday. The vast majority of those were impeded in one way or the other. There were numerous cancellations. At one point, delays were running to over 4 hours. And we had, you know, every available parking bay for aircraft on the airport was taken up. And that meant that arriving aircraft had to be parked remotely. There was no way of getting people off planes, cleaning them, replenishing them, refueling them at some of those places either. So you've got to think of it almost like a ballet or a Formula One pit stop. You know, you've got people doing multiple things in close synchronicity and careful, you know, it's all carefully choreographed. And you take one player out of that, one actor out of that movement, and everything becomes chaotic. And that's exactly what happened yesterday. So you couldn't refuel, therefore you couldn't also service the aircraft. You couldn't empty the lavatory tanks. You couldn't restock with catering. You couldn't move passengers. It would have had a huge impact on immigration, security, and then of course cargo. You know, you've got a lot of goods that get moved through the airport, through the cargo facility. A lot of it also has to now be temperature controlled, things like pharmaceuticals, perishable goods, and now you're suddenly incurring a 4 or 5 hour delay. And where do you put all that stuff, and how do you make sure it doesn't spoil?
As you list all of these things, Lyndon's making me even more and more anxious. But what is of concern, though, is that this has all been put down to a valve failure.
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken, there was a previous similar incident in December 2022. It raises issues of maintenance and infrastructure improvement, which either isn't happening or happening sufficiently quick enough.
Yeah, so two things to that. First of all, we're talking about mechanical devices, and yes, you know, like all machines and equipment, you know, going to fail at some point. So you need to be sure that you've got contingencies in place to deal with that. And that was the big takeaway after this happened 2 years ago, and there was an assurance given that there would be a redundant bypass system installed. Now, apparently the valve that failed yesterday was a different valve, but even so, these things can occur, and there should be forethought given to that, and then other contingencies. And I was speaking last night to the CEO of a UK-based airport who said to me, you know, the standard there is to have at least 3 or 4 backup plans, not necessarily all involving a valve, but other contingencies as well, just to try and keep things going. You know, because airports are such pieces of strategic infrastructure for economies. You know, there's so many people and organizations that depend on air connectivity, whether you're in the tourism and hospitality sector or other, you know, areas of business. So yes, you know, the contingency is important. I think what riles the airlines more than anything else, and should also rile travelers, is that we pay both tax on our air tickets, which goes directly to, or a charge in this case, which goes directly to AXA as a passenger service charge. And the airlines pay other statutory charges to AXA as well. Now, you know, those are monopoly service providers, and one expects a certain level of service. So it's understandable that there's frustration, especially when there's no avenue for compensation. And the airlines are left fronting up to their customers, because, you know, they're the ones at the sharp end and at the coalface.
Lyndon, let's pivot and take a couple of minutes to talk about this IATA Outlook report. And maybe the difficulty is that the industry itself, both locally on the continent and worldwide, has got to maintain profitability, obviously, in 2025. But there are increasing problems like supply chain issues and rising operational costs. 2025 is going to be a tough one for the sector, it seems.
It certainly will. You know, they're talking about a 3.6% net profit margin, you know, which is actually quite paltry when you think about other industries. In Africa, we're talking about a 0.9% profit margin. So just to put that into perspective, the global net profit forecast next year per passenger is about $7. In Africa, it's $1. And so, you know, we can see where there's a huge gap. The big challenge in our part of the world is the fact that we have, you know, huge population, great big potential market, but very low per capita income and a low propensity to travel. At the same time, while there is demand, industry is being hammered here with additional costs. So while fuel prices are coming down around the world, they're not coming down sufficiently here. And because we rely increasingly on imported jet fuel in Southern Africa now, we're incurring additional costs for shipping, for logistics. SARS have imposed a new duty on shipments of fuel through the pipelines. So all of these things accumulate. And of course, it gets a little bit annoying when you hear the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Trade, Industry and Competition last week moaning about the affordability of air travel. And you go, well, when you look at an average air ticket in this country, one third of it comprises of statutory taxes and charges.
Just a final one then. Are there lessons that African carriers can learn from regions like the Middle East, which, again, looking at that report, they seem to achieve the highest net profit margins. And obviously that has a positive impact on their financial performance. In other words, Linda, what are they doing that we can learn from?
Look, I think the Middle East is a difficult one to use as an example because a lot of that is funded by petrodollars. So there's a lot of, you know, cash capital lying around that is easy to access and it's cheap. Their fuel costs are a lot lower. And geographically, they're located in, you know, at a great crossroads to be a connector. So that's difficult for us in South Africa. We're at the end of the continent. This is a dollar-based industry, and yet most of our airline revenues are incurred and generated in softer currencies like rands and pulas and Namibian dollars. So every time the dollar strengthens, that gap that the airlines have to close in order to maintain some sort of profitability becomes even more difficult to do. So really the key here is governments need to look at having policies that enable and encourage the connectivity, that promote efficiency in the service providers, that you know, we don't have vanity projects, that we have what we need, make sure that we are skilling enough people, make sure that we get education right so we attract the right, we can fill the pipeline of talent that we need, because the aviation skills are in very high demand worldwide, and we've seen already we're losing air traffic controllers like no tomorrow in this country. So we need government to step back and say, recognize that air connectivity is not just something for the elite. It's not just something, you know, to go to nice places. It is, should be central and fundamental to economic development and policy. It's around creating jobs. It's around raising the overall level of prosperity in the country. And we know that aviation is a proven catalyst for economic growth. It does this in many other countries. And we don't have to become an Ethiopia where they have pretty much ruled out, that they've regulated out competition in Ethiopia. That's, you know, I get worried when a lot of our policymakers and legislators look to Ethiopia and say, how come their airline is very profitable? Well, they've banned competition and they cross-subsidized the airports and the air navigation service to fund the airline. So, you know, if we wanted to replicate that, we'd have to unwind the clock, go back to pre-1991 when we deregulated our industry. And I think there would be enormous pushback on that. Right. You wouldn't have choice.
Linda Burns, I'm going to leave it there. As always, I do appreciate the conversation. Managing Director of the Specialist Agency, plain talking.
Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with MoneyWeb.